You listen to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense. Stay within your limits. Go to GameSense.ab.ca.
It's a good thing you're not having to write like a league recap tonight with 16 games across the league.
Yeah, it's a busy night. You know, they call it Frozen Frenzy. So 16 games tonight and spreading them out. So it's, yeah, it's going to be a busy night trying to keep up with everything that's going on. But, yeah, they do this a couple times a season. So this is one of those special nights where every team gets to play. So it's something that they've been trying out. And, you know, I like it. I like, you know, the more hockey, the better, especially at this time of year. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see it, you know, try and keep up with everything today.
What did you make of Chris Knobloch's comments about how, you know, because he was asked about, you know, continuity to changing up the lines. He's like, well, I don't want to change the lines all the time, but we're not doing much, basically, is what he's saying. Like, yeah. He even split up McDavid and Draisaitl, and he gave him a long look. And I think he goes, well, they weren't as forceful as we'd expect. So where do you come? There's some people like, well, the reason they're not scoring is because they're changing lines all the time. And then they're like, well, but I could keep the lines who aren't scoring together. Well, I don't know if that's going to score more. It's kind of like a chicken and the egg. Which one do you think comes first here?
Yeah, for sure. And I thought it was interesting. What do you say? 50 hours? You need about, or 50, I can't remember, not 50 hours.
50 minutes.
50 minutes. Sorry. 50 yeah. minutes or 50 shifts. I can't remember. What, yeah. 50 shifts or 50 minutes to really get a good read on the lines, you know, them playing together 50 minutes. But I don't know if you have a line that's played 50 minutes together this season, because you got to keep switching them. But, you know, I think the logic going in, they said, okay, we're trying to incorporate some new guys in the lineup. We have a bunch of guys that have never played the league before. We have a bunch of guys that we don't know much about. We don't know how they're going to fit in. So at least we have McDavid and Draisaitl. We know what we're going to get with them. And a lot of pressure was put on that top line to kind of carry all the offense while everyone else tries to find their footing. And I just think right now, yeah, to me, you know, that's what preseason is for, is trying to figure out some combinations, who works with what. Trent Frederick obviously didn't work with those two guys, and they've tried a few other different combinations, but they're trying to get something that sticks consistently. And I think it's a situation where you have a lot of guys that are still trying to find their way through the league. They're still trying to find their game. And so when you have individual players still kind of working their way through the league, it's tough to kind of find consistency in a combination with other players. And I think they just keep, it's like a Rubik's Cube. You just keep flipping the sides, hoping that you'll eventually come up with a color type thing. And, you know, he keeps doing it. I think part of it starts with, you're right, he wasn't getting the type of production 5-on-5 that he wanted from his top guys. Now he's splitting them up and he's trying to find guys that can play with him. So I think they're still going to tinker with the combinations until they find something that at least kind of sticks a little bit, at least kind of works. And right now, 5-on-5, the owners are struggling to generate much. So I think that they keep kind of flipping that Rubik's Cube, hoping that, you know, they'll eventually find a color.
Yeah, you look at, you know, Nugent Hopkins, McDavid, and Mangiapane, and, you know, even if the line goes well, I'm not sure how long it'll last, because Zach Hyman, whether it's going to be Saturday or maybe it's next Monday or Tuesday, he's getting close to returning. Is there one line, though, that, you know, you've seen, because they are playing basically, you know, the same three lines. Obviously, there's only 11 forwards. We can't have all four lines the same. And they just moved Savoy up to play with Henrique and Frederick, who were really good in Vancouver. But, you know, is there one line where you say, hey, I think there's potential here?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I don't know. I think, well, they're trying to get that second line going, I think, you know, and that, I think Henrique's got to kind of, he's starting to kind of find his game. And I think if he can kind of drive a line, I think that really helps him out. And, you know, Tomasek to me has done good things, but still, you know, like I said, he's still a 29-year-old that hasn't played in the league. He's got some skill. I think he can skate. He can keep up. But yeah, like right now, you know, you look at the lines that they have going tonight. I don't know if there's anything that really, really stands out for me. Like, it's just one of those things that, you know, I don't see them finishing the game this way. I think, obviously, I see them starting the game this way, but I'm not convinced they're going to finish this way, this game, especially against this Utah team. These guys are flying right now. And you're talking about, we talked to Andre Trudeau this morning, and he's like, he's found the right combination. He's got these guys going. He's got all the lines. They say, he said, we have four lines that are really have great chemistry, are really playing well together, are really coming together. So it's complete opposite in what Utah is doing, is they found their chemistry as opposed to the others still looking for theirs. So I really do foresee there's going to be still a lot of changes, a lot of movement going around along in the owners. And you know, when you play 11-7, you have as former coaches would say, yeah, you have more chances to move the chess pieces around. I think you have a little bit more leeway up front. So we'll see what happens with that tonight.
Yeah, I will say this about Utah. Their top lines are really humming, right? The Cooley, Paterka, Gunther lines playing great. Schmaltz and Keller, oh my goodness, Schmaltz was tied for the league lead. Technically, he was leading because he had more goals than Jack Eichel, each with 16 points. And, you know, that you got to be very leery of him and Keller right now, not to mention their other line.
Well, yeah, they're rolling right now. And Dylan Gunther's playing really well. And I think that's a big thing for Oil Kings fans, watching Dylan Gunther kind of develop here before moving on to the next level. Yeah, their lines are rolling right now. And I think, you know, I've watched a few Utah games. Basically, I watch because I want to see Gunther play. But I think it's one of those things that they really make you pay if you turn the puck over. Like, they can come back at you in a hurry. And I think they also a really good job of keeping the puck in the zone and kind of wearing you down that way. So they have a lot of skill on that team. And, you know, I think it's nice for that franchise to finally kind of spend money and try and bring in some good players. And, I was talking to JJ Paterka this morning. Like, he's another guy that they brought in, didn't want to resign in Buffalo. So they traded him to Utah, and he's fit in like perfectly well there. He said he didn't know anyone on the team when he got there, but he's fit in really well. So he's another skilled guy in that mid-20 area that can kind of grow together. So there's a lot to be excited about this Utah team, but I think they have a lot of good veterans that have won before, that have played played the game at a very, very high level in the playoffs. And the rookies and these younger guys are kind of, feeding off them. So there's not a lot of holes in this Utah lineup from what I've seen so far, 10 games into the season. So it's going to be a pretty good test for the Oilers today, just because Utah can keep coming at you. They can keep rolling those lines, especially if they get you pinned in your own zone. I can't remember who they were playing last week. They had them pinned in the zone for the almost entire second period, it seemed like. So, this is a team that can keep coming at you, and there's really not a lot of drop-off between the first and the fourth line.
No. Well, their two lines are really scoring for sure. I look at their bottom six is physical. They chip in here or there. Like, Jack McBain hasn't scored yet, but he's going to. He's like, to me, he has all the potential to be an Adam Lowry. Way he plays and his size and checks all that stuff. I quite like it. So that part's very good. But looking at the Oilers and, Nurse and Bouchard, you had to do something. You had to split up Ekholm and Bouchard. They're getting murdered. Like, you had to. You can't always live in the past forever. Now, you can always go back to it when they're playing better. But to me, DVD, it made sense to split them up the way they were playing.
Well, they were, because neither of them, neither Bouchard or Ekholm were playing very well. And Ekholm's getting walked more often this season, I think, of seeing this season than he had and all his time here at Edmonton. He's obviously not back to the level that he was before he got hurt. The foot speed's not there, not there yet. I think he will get there. The timing's not there yet. He's not reading the play like he used to. And I think, guys are challenging them. And I think that's the thing in this league. If they see a weakness, they'll go for it. And you're seeing guys challenging Ekholm one-on-one a lot more than you had in the past. In the past, you just figured, oh, that's Ekholm. There's no way I'm going to beat him one-on-one. But now they're taking him on, and they're taking him on outside. They're turning him inside out. And I think that's an issue. And Bouchard, that kind of reflects in the play. Like, if Ekholm's struggling, then Bouchard's going to struggle, because Bouchard has never been really good in his own zone. And I think they always kind of depended on Ekholm to be the defensive stay-at-home guy, and Bouchard allowing him to kind of move up and be offensive in that regard. But Bouchard right now, he's making poor reads. He's making poor plays. He's making bad decisions defensively, some bad decisions with the puck. Like, there's mistakes galore there. And you're right, the way those two were playing, every time it seemed like the other team was scoring, those guys were on the ice. So I think, yeah, you had to do something. You had to change something up, because it's not working right now. And this is a partnership that had been together and been so successful for so long, and then to see it kind of just kind of crumble here because both guys are struggling at the same time. Yeah, you had to make moves. You had to make changes. And the funny thing is about Jason, like we thought defensively that's going to be a strength of this team. They're all coming back. They're all know each other really well. And right now you can see there are some struggles there, and there are some things that other teams are exploiting.
Yeah. Derek Van Diest joins us. DVD, one last one. Got to get your thoughts on the Jays. Did you watch the whole game last night?
Yeah, I did. I did. I was by the 12th inning. I was like, well, I'm invested. I'm not going to bed. Like, it's funny because I was like, oh, I'm going to go to bed early today, get a good 8 hours, solid 8 hours.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, it's 12:45 in the morning. I'm still watching baseball. But, I, you know, at this level, you have to make the most of your opportunities, and you can't leave, you can't make mistakes. And I think the Jays compounded, made 3 or 4 mistakes. You know, I think, you know, obviously they didn't get help from that one call from the umpire. But the way I see it, like if you're a young baseball player and you know it's a ball, don't start walking to first base until you hear the umpire say ball, because it's almost like showing up the guy. And I think that's what happened with that high strike. Marshall started walking to first and he hadn't called it yet. And then he's like, you know, screw that guy. I'm going to call it a strike, even though it was way out. Like it was a bad look on the umpire. But I do think that there were some base running mistakes and there were some execution mistakes. Like you get the leadoff runner in extra innings. You got to lay down the bunts. You got to execute that. You got to get the guy to second. And then, you go from there. There was obviously some substitutions, you know, that there's some had to be made because there was injuries and guys banged up, but, you know, there was a couple there that you wonder, okay, I know you're playing for the 9-inning win, but you do have to take into consideration if this game goes, it's 5-5 going into extra innings. And I think, the Jays didn't have much pop in their lineup because they took 3 of their best hitters out of the lineup.
Yeah, well, yeah, it hurt. Well, even Barger, man, Barger's been great in this series, and yeah. So him gone too. So they'll have to bounce back. And I will say this, man, watch. Like, so we had that game last night. It's a marathon game, but as a fan, now you get right back to it. Like, this reminds me of when the NHL used to play back to back games in series, man. Like, it just it gets you so much more emotionally involved. Is it harder on the players? Yeah, possibly, but. They did it for years when they didn't even travel well. Like nowadays, the travel, the education, the food, everything is infinitely better.
No, for sure. And I think, you know, if you were the Jays and you say, okay, we don't want to linger on that loss too long. Let's get right back at it. And, you know, they're going to need a really good pitching performance. They're going to be against Shohei Ohtani. And again, the funny thing about, you know, they had a meeting on the mound in the 7th. How are we going to pitch Ohtani? Let's be careful with this guy. Whatever they said in that mound meeting. And then the first pitch is right down the middle fastball, and he drove it to deep center. And if you're going to – like, it was kind of funny. You're going to pitch this guy. If you pitch to him, you can't throw him a fastball right down the heart of the plate because he is going to bury it.
Yeah, for sure. DVD, enjoy all the games tonight, buddy. We'll see you at the rink.
Sounds good. See you there.
There you go. That's Derek Van Diest from